the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the heart of our faith, of the Christian faith, is the love of God for the world, for humanity, for all creation. And this love is expressed in 100,000 or a million different ways. The beauty of creation, the love that people share with one another, the love that we share with other parts of that creation, the promises and love of God that we hear through Scripture and in the tradition of the Church, and of course what we see in the life and teaching of Jesus. And in response, we aim, I hope, to love God and each other as Jesus commanded us to. In Jesus himself, we see God's love distilled in perfect human form. And Jesus lives a life of love and commands people to do the same. Not just those who will seek to follow him, but anyone who hears him, hears his voice. And this love, Jesus tells us repeatedly, will come at a cost, as indeed it does for him, and as it has done for countless martyrs down through the centuries, as evidence of such great cost. In the 20th century alone, we think of the martyrs Oscar Romero, Esther John, Manche Masemola, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Maximilian Kolbe, and on they go, all of whom are, for example, memorialised in stone above the west door of Westminster Abbey in London, the martyrs of the 20th century above the door. Now, if you were here last week, in Matthew's Gospel, we heard Jesus explain how bringing his divine love into the world could also bring division. It's a strange thing for us to hear. And he talked about how family structures might be rent apart by those who choose to follow Christ. Those family structures which are most often prized amongst our human communities, the old saying, blood is thicker than water, may well be sort of rent asunder by responding to the love of God through a life of love and service. And so in last week's gospel, we heard Jesus talk about how sons would be separated from fathers, daughters from mothers, daughters-in-law from mothers-in-law. And the implication was that a life of Christian love and service may well not neatly fall into the human-made structures of society around us. This morning we hear the immediate follow-on from the gospel passage of last week. And what we hear this morning is short and sharp and to the point. It is, if you are counting these things, the very shortest gospel reading of the whole year, just three verses. Jesus makes several very important points. He says, in the welcome we receive, and by implication, the welcome we give, we find the welcome of God. That's a pretty big call. When we are welcomed by others, Jesus is welcomed. And when Jesus is welcomed, so too is the one who sent him, Jesus says, which of course is God. Christ is teaching us that in us and in each other, he is found. And when we, regardless of who we are, or indeed what we might even think of ourselves, are welcomed, Christ is welcomed, and God is welcomed. In us, for those of who are baptized, we have the mark of Christ's cross made on our forehead. We are created in the image of God. Jesus is found. And so to understand ourselves as being a Christ bearer, or for those of you Latin scholars amongst us, Christophorus, it's a natural part of being a Christian. We are Jesus bearers to the world. It's a lofty calling, considering that other people may, or worse, may not see and experience something of Christ in us. And by extension, will experience or not the love of God for them. Being a disciple of Christ in this light requires us to be conscious of him, whom we bear, the faith we have, and the love of God for all, located for a short time at least in our little fragile selves. So I think this must naturally lead us to consider and pray for grace in the living out of our faith. Us Christ bearers, we must have on hand a ready explanation of our faith. Better yet, a way of living that extols Jesus, shows Jesus, demonstrates Jesus in all that we do. In St. Matthew's Gospel, the reading this morning, Christ makes plain that the living out of this gospel is not a complicated life at all. He explains that the most basic gesture can be full of the grace of God. A cup of cold water given to a so-called little one of God, a person, is full of gospel love. It is such a simple act of generosity, of care, of thoughtfulness, of thinking of the person in front of one, and of responding to need, that is full of the grace of God. And from that we can, I think, understand the implication that any kind act, any kind word, a small or large, is in its own way just a little fundamental sharing in the love of God for the world. It might be tempting to think that we cannot be a true disciple of Jesus because we're not destined for a statue above the west door of Westminster Abbey. Well, I'm not, that's for certain. You might be. But Jesus here makes the obvious plain. Every single one of us always has the opportunity every day, day after day, to practice the generosity and love of God in the very simplest of acts. Each of us today has the opportunity to choose to love more than we did yesterday, to give more, to serve more in the name of Jesus. Does this mean that Christians are simply meant to be nice? After all, nice things are done by nice people. Does this mean that to be a Christian, one simply needs to be good? After all, good people do good things, regardless of religious persuasion. No, for there is more to a faithful Christian life than simply being good and or being nice, as important and as lovely those things are. We do these things in faith. We act out the faith that we have inside us. We act out the person whom we believe. We behave as Christ bearers to the world. We do so with faith in God, with faith in Christ, and we do so, as Jesus teaches us, no matter the potential cost. Speaking of cost, in the reading from the book of Genesis this morning, we hear the unsettling story of Abraham, who follows the call of God in his life, to the very point where he is about to sacrifice his own son. And at the very last minute, God grants him a reprieve, seeing how much Abraham is willing to give up in response to the call of God in his life, his very own son. And of course, well after Abraham, God sacrifices God's own son, Jesus, to show of the great love of God for the world. So, one is Christian first by one's faith in God, and our love and our generosity and our service is the natural follow-on from such faith. What we believe always determines how we act. Now, naturally, this is not to say that you're not to be nice or to be good, please. But being a Christian does not stop at these virtues. Rather, our faith is the defining feature of our life. Our behaviour, that which follows on from this faith, how we shall be known by others and the world. Now, I've said this before, and I will say it again in this very pulpit. Being a Christian is not, however, all about you, your relationship with Jesus, your virtues and vices, your ability to follow Christ or otherwise. Rather, being a Christian is all about, well, Jesus. We direct our attention to him, and we do so together as the body of Christ. And we cannot serve him as a disciple in a relationship purely with him and no one else. Rather, we as Christians are in this together, finding Christ in each other far more so than Christ in ourselves. Our whole outlook on life, I think, has to be centered on that standpoint that we look for and we experience Christ in others, our friends, our family, and yes, the stranger alike. So, when we consider these things, I think, from this perspective, it makes eminent sense that we need look for every single way of serving those around us. And that need not be, as Christ teaches this morning, a very complicated business at all, but rather all very basic. Giving a cup of cold water to someone who needs it. Bearing Christ to another in a kind word, a good act, ultimately an act of service born from love. Bearing Christ to another by speaking honest or hard truth to those who need it. Bearing Christ to another by repeated acts of self-sacrifice, of faithfulness, of love, of dedication. As a church, bearing Christ to all who come here in words of welcome and care and grace and nurture born of the faith that we have. As a church, bearing Christ to each other in acts of service, small or large, in joy, dedication, humility, and never in acrimony or gossip or one-upmanship. Lastly, not only is there obvious reward in such a life on a daily basis, but we learn Jesus teaches there is also a godly reward too. Now, the details of that are unclear in those three verses that we read this morning. But at the altar this morning, and every time we come to the altar, the reward is very clear. For there, here, we are given the promise of the ultimate reward, eternal life. Thanks be to God.